To be able to be of service to this church this morning. So for now, just a bit of silence to let our hearts be ready for the word of our Heavenly Father. The scripture text for this morning is from the book of Zechariah, chapter 8, verse 4 to 5. I repeat that. It's from the book of Zechariah, chapter 8, verses 4 to 5. This is reading from the ESV. Verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with a staff in hand, because of great age. Verse 5. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. This is the word of the Lord, and together thanks be to God.
Thanks Amen. Be to God indeed. Thank you, Brother Alfred. You have a pastor's voice. What does the kingdom of God look like? When we think of God's kingdom, many of us will be tempted to think of angels dressed in white with the heavenly choir and the beautiful string harps, the heavenly streets of gold and the bright white lights with clouds all around. We often think of the kingdom of God this way. But here in Zechariah 8, the Lord paints a radically different picture for us. In the text that was wonderfully read by Brother Alfred, thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with staff in hand because of great age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. The old men and old women, what are they doing? Let's try this again. What are the old men and old women doing? Sitting, they're sitting down. But sitting doesn't sound very spiritual, does it? Just sitting down? You mean they're not doing anything? They're not helping out in church, folding bulletin, not serving, not contributing, they're just sitting? How can it be like that? Today we think of retirement as a number. When we hit 60 years old, what happens? At SES, they shouted, collect CPAF. I say, tang kuku. At 60 years old, what happened? You collect your silver passion card. And with it, you can claim your reserved seating on the bus and MRT. Then when you hit 63, the official retirement age in Singapore, you imagine that maybe this is the time for retirement, work a few more years to 68, the official re-employment age, and then after that you can sit back and relax. We think of retirement as a number, but in those days, age itself was not a marker. You look at the text again, who are the elderly here? You pay attention. The old men and old women each have a staff in hand. What is a staff? Tongkat. A staff, a tongkat, yes, a walking aid, is to help them to walk. So the elderly pictured here are those who have difficulty walking around. They need a staff, someone to come alongside them, to aid them, to assist them. It's not a fixed retirement age per se, but the strength that they have. here the seniors have reached a great age. You look at the text, a great age. So they have pushed the boundaries of physical life on earth. They have reached that great age where they can simply sit down. They can enjoy conversations with each other. They can delight in watching the children play. And it's all right to do that. They can simply sit and no one will pass judgment on them. In many ways, this is liberating. Because one of the big fears of growing old is that people will say, we haven't reached that yet. But we often hear the seniors say, "Ayo, now I'm getting old, I'm useless now, I cannot do anything, I'm not like that before." And I say to us, especially here in Singapore, we are conditioned, so conditioned to think that our value and significance is tied up with our usefulness and worth. From young, we are conditioned. I need to do well in school to get that award, to be valued. My teacher only knows the names of the top students. Maybe my grandparents love my sister more because she scores more A's. My worth and significance is tied up to my performance. So there is that tugging in our hearts to do more. We strive hard to make a name for ourselves. We embark on a quest for significance with our achievements, our results, our cleverness, our wealth, and even our family. And this is the sad result of a pragmatic society. I shared before that there was this retired pastor who was sharing with a group of clergy that he feels it. He says last time when he was pastor, he was the vicar of a church, when his birthday comes, wow, he get a lot of wishes, he get a lot of birthday cards, but now he only received one birthday card in the mail from his insurance agent. Last time when he goes out of the MRT station, he will walk fast to avoid the agents, the salespeople. But now he walks very slowly, but they avoid him. So there is a sense that things are different now, the feeling that he is less significant. But hear the truth from Scripture. Your value is not in how much you can contribute. Your worth is not in how much you have, but your value and worth is in your personhood, that you are a child of God. In God's kingdom, the elderly are simply... Okay, let's start over. In God's kingdom, the elderly are simply sitting. And that's all right, you know. That's okay. How liberating. There is a time and season for everything. So while there is a time to run, chiong like never before, there's also a time to slow down. There's a time to fight and chase those dreams and you'll never give up. Yet there is also a time to sit down and be still. How liberating that is. There's no judgment. Instead, what we have here in Zechariah 8 is a picture of tranquility and peace, that the elderly are simply... You know, SES, they were very responsive. E1 more so. E2 goes down. Let's try again, okay? The elderly are simply sitting. Very good. Years ago, my boy asked me a very profound theological question. Very profound. Are there toys in heaven? I think so, you know. Because while the elderly are sitting, what are the children doing? Playing. The children are playing. And again, how seemingly pointless that is. The children are playing. Not praying. But they are playing. They are not studying. They are playing. They are not using play as a learning pedagogy. But they are simply playing. Are you sure or not? How can the kingdom of God be like that? Interestingly, on this Monday, this week, I was coming out of the car park at the North Point in Yishun, and I saw this banner. Play is the work of children. It's very serious stuff. And all the children say,
amen.
Campbell Morgan wrote, play is work not for profit, but out of pure delight in the exercise of strength. God's ideal for the child is that he shall play, and the characteristics of a little child at play are merriment, earnestness, pity, defense of the weak. So again, I say, it is liberating, you know. The elderly are? The children are? They all have a space to be themselves. They can do what is most natural to them without danger or judgment. They have a space to be themselves. They can do what is most natural to them without danger or judgment. Do you see that? Where are the elderly sitting? Where are the children playing? In the streets. In Zechariah's time, the streets of Jerusalem were not at all safe. At that time, Jerusalem was very messy. This was the time that the exiles have returned, and they were rebuilding the temple. So the whole place, they were in poverty. There was a lot of exploitation, suspicion among the people in the land. We went through the book of Nehemiah. So Nehemiah came many, many years later after Zechariah. But when he came back, remember there was also the huge opposition about the rebuilding of the walls. So the very real threats existed both inside Jerusalem and from outside. So you imagine the streets of Jerusalem in Zechariah's time, it was simply unsafe. Children don't play there. The people don't sit on the streets. So today also, when we think of the streets, we think of the gangsters who are out there to bully and rob people. The terrible people who are out to exploit the weak. We think of the elderly being cheated of their life savings when they click the wrong link. We imagine the young children being kidnapped, our young being exploited to be loan shark runners, the pedophiles, the sexual predators, all looming around in the streets. So we often say it's not a very safe space at all. But you see, in God's kingdom, both the elderly and children are out there in the streets. The streets will be safe. The elderly can peacefully sit and the children can safely play. There is that safe space for everyone. And they are out there together, together. Usually, we won't associate the children and the elderly together. In our culture, we separate the children to do the children things in the children's room. And then the seniors to do the senior things in the senior place. They are seldom put together. But in God's kingdom, the children and the seniors, they are found together. In the kingdom of God, the different generations will come naturally together. In Zechariah 8, we see the elderly and the children will be together. Then if you are like me, you will ask, what about those in between? If the elderly sit, the children play, you and I? Iwan, they shouted, pray. What is our place in the kingdom of God? I say to us, scripture is employing merism here, that the contrasting parts are mentioned, but together they encompass the entirety. For example, if I say, I search high and low, does it mean that I just search high and low? Does it mean that? No, it doesn't, right? It means I search everywhere. It's like in the next verse, verse 7, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. Here when the Lord says he will save his people from the east and from the west, it doesn't mean that those north and south will not be safe. You see that? But it means that sweeping across where the sun rises from the east to the west, salvation will be available for all. So too in God's kingdom, while the elderly and the children are mentioned, but God's economy is encompassing. The generations will be together. So if the streets are safe for the seniors and the children, the people who are most vulnerable in society, then every generation will also have a space and a place. That is how it is like in God's kingdom. That God's ideal is for the different generations to come together. God's ideal is for the different generations to come together. And I wrestled with this when I came to SJSM, because if you look at church growth strategies, the fastest growing churches today are the homogeneous churches, meaning they cater to the same age group. Even in Singapore, if you name the fastest growing churches, they are all homogeneous churches with a focus on the young people. But I say to us, the biblical picture has always been the call for the generations to be together. And this is what we will cling and hold on to as a church. This will be a distinctive that sets SJSM apart. Bethany Kirk puts it like this. She says, when God set his people Israel in order, he placed each individual within a family, each family within a tribe, and each tribe within the nation. No generation was excluded, no child left out, no older person put aside. Within each tribe were the components of family, and together they were community. We see this time and again in scripture. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts, Psalm 145. This means each generation is responsible for sharing and equipping the next generation. That's why in SJSM here, we pray to build an intergenerational church. Project Spring Winter, focusing on the children and the seniors, continues now to morph to SJSM Village. So this means that every generation will have a space and place. This means that there is that mutuality and togetherness among the different generations. There is that interaction between the generations so that the wisdom of one generation can be passed on to the next. That is why, church, we pursue radical hospitality, which is not only extended to outside the stranger, but also one to another. We learn to give space to one another without criticism or judgment. We accept one another as Christ has accepted us. We make room for one another and sometimes sacrifice our own preferences for one another's sake. So here in SJSM Village, the seniors, the elderly, are free to sit, and the children can freely play. And you and I, who fall in between those ages, we can find a welcoming and safe space to encounter the Lord of hosts freely. Zechariah 8 paints that picture of the kingdom of God. And church, we want to pursue that now. So I invite you on this village engagement weekend to be continually involved in this village as we experience the Lord's kingdom as he wills it. Allow me to invite Sister Julia as she comes forward and shares her testimony of serving here in the village.
Hi, everyone. Thanks, Pastor Victor, for this opportunity to share with you all. My name is Julia, but in the past, people have called me names like banana or jiak kang tang. If you know what that means, banana means I look yellow on the outside, but actually white in the inside. Or jiak kang tang, which actually means potato, eating potato, which actually refers to someone from the West. Now, the reason for this is that I'm English speaking. I don't speak Malay. I can only converse in Mandarin at a very basic level. I hardly speak any dialect. So actually, working with seniors was something I never seriously considered. But you know, when SJSM decided to apply for a license to run an active aging center, I had no prior experience of working with seniors. I took this step of faith to join this active aging center. All the while, I was clinging tightly to the promise that God's grace is sufficient for me and that His strength is made perfect in weakness. But my journey with working with the community actually began over 15 years ago. It just was a desire to work in the community. I didn't know exactly what to do, but I remember one Sunday service, worship service, I was sitting somewhere around there, which was my usual place at that time, and I heard the voice of God say, would you consider being the supervisor at the Heart Friend, at SJSM's Heart Friend Student Center? Now, hearing the voice of God like that for me is not commonplace at all. So I wasn't sure what to make of it. Now, 2 days later, I had a meeting with Richard, who was then the director of Heart Friends, and he said to me, Pastor Renis is asking if you will consider being the supervisor at the student center. You can imagine, I almost fell off the sofa I was sitting on, and I knew I had to obey. So I left my corporate legal job and started my adventure with working with the community. That was in 2009. After about 13 years of working at the student center, I then made this move to work with seniors at our Active Aging Center. Now, what is this Active Aging Center all about? Now, some of you would have heard of Kopi Stop. And this is a program that SJSM has been doing for over 20 years, where we serve breakfast and run activities in the void deck of Block 4, Dover, for the Dover seniors. And this was run on a Saturday morning. Operating an Active Aging Center, or we call it an AAC, meant simply we run something like Kopi Stop, not just on Saturday, but throughout the week with daily activities for our seniors. And actually much more than that. We have about 2,000 seniors that live here in Dover. And SJSM has been given this amazing opportunity through this AAC to reach out to each and every one of them. Many of these seniors live alone and don't have very much family support. So they have difficulty actually doing tasks that a lot of us take for granted. So we've had requests at our AAC where seniors come with the letters that they receive in the post or SMSs they receive and ask us to explain it to them. They come and ask us for help to claim government vouchers. They come and ask us for help to book their medical appointments online. We've had requests to help make their beds, flip their mattresses, change their light bulbs. I even had a request of a senior came and asked me to cut the fingernails on one hand because following a stroke, they couldn't manage that anymore. When we got our license back in October 2022, we started with this small group of about eight ladies coming together on a daily basis, just drinking coffee and chatting. But today, we really thank God, we have a daily gathering of about 30 to 50 seniors getting together for activities like exercise, Zumba, line dancing, playing Rummy O, Nagomi art classes, English classes, karaoke, or some just come to drink coffee and chat. Now, this AAC has been life-transforming for many of them. Seniors have mentioned to us that before we opened daily activities, they would say things like, 在家里也是没有东西做,整天看墙壁,整天看电视, which means that every day I've got nothing to do. I stare at the walls, I watch TV. One senior actually told me that the Kopi Stop is like her third home. If she's not at home and she's not in her son's house, she will be at Kopi Stop. And I've even had a grateful daughter who's one of her parents comes every day to Kopi Stop. And the daughter says that with one parent out of the house, there's less opportunity for her parents to be bickering. And you know, for me personally, it's been such a humbling journey. You know, I took on this role with absolutely no relevant prior experience of working with seniors. And as I mentioned, limited ability to communicate with seniors who don't speak English. Yet I have seen and experienced how God's work can be done despite our limitations, inadequacies, and doubts. How indeed His strength is made perfect, not in our strengths and abilities, but in our weaknesses. And you know what? It's been so much fun. I mean, what's not to like? Every day I get to drink coffee and chat with seniors. I get to eat with them. Some of them love to feed us. I get to play games with them. I get to dance. I get to sing with them. I get to go on outings with them. You know, I've really been truly been blessed by my time at the Kopi Stop. Now, many who've heard my story have often commented, what a big sacrifice I've made, you know, leaving this good corporate legal job and working with the community. How wrong that is. It's not been a sacrifice at all, but a great joy and privilege. You know, when asked over the years if I'll go back to legal work, I won't hesitate to say whatever for. I've received so much more than I've given. I just want to end by encouraging each one of you to consider exploring the many opportunities that to volunteer at Kopi Stop and at the village. It really is not a sacrifice, but it is a privilege to share in the lives of these seniors. Hope to see you at the village. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Julia. Elvina, who shared yesterday at SCS, she sought the Lord as she asked the Lord how she can actually engage the nursing home residents. And the Lord led her to start the Poor Friends Ministry. And together with a few Poor Friend volunteers, they brought a resident, Uncle Lim, through the Alpha course and even saw him through baptism. And she said this, recently our Poor Friends tribe had a meeting here in the village. We invited a few residents to join us for dinner just before that. When it was time for the residents to return to their wards, Uncle Thumb asked to say a few words. He left all of us speechless and some of us in tears when he said thank you for the friendship. Xiu Ping, who shared earlier at E1, she led the sensory arts team here in, leads the sensory arts team here in the village. She shared that she wasn't sure if she was capable of engaging and teaching the elderly, but she trusted the Lord to go ahead, and the Lord led her to make a difference. She shared, as time passed, we became regulars who visited the different wards every week. We were like friends to residents who hardly had any visitors and brought the outside world into their confined space through our activities. Church, I want us to see that together we are making that tangible impact and difference in our community. And I urge us to join in and serve together. Today is our village engagement weekend, and I invite you not to so quickly rush off after the service. You can head to the different booths to learn a little bit more about the work in the village, to hear the Lord tugging at your heart as He leads us forward. God's ideal is for the different generations to come together. God's ideal is for the different generations to come together. There was a pastor who shared that some youths participated in an intergenerational donut making event. There were about 5 generations present in this event itself, donut making. So they deep fried the donuts, they glazed them, they played charades, chatted, talked with one another. And at the end of the day, the young people were asked what they enjoyed most about the event. And one of the youths replied. She said, usually when we are at an event for college students, it's all about us, the college students. It's about what we want, what we need. But because all the generations are here, we were paying attention to other people older and younger than we are. And she said, it wasn't just about us. And I thought that is very striking. And it catches, you see, it catches the spirit of what we desire to do. We come out, we give each other space, we exercise that radical hospitality. There is that beauty, church, when the different generations come together. There is the outward focus, the one anotherness, the village, the kampung spirit that we can catch. So fellow villagers, today we've got a new term. We keep pressing forward, onwards in the call that the Lord has for us. For thus says the Lord of hosts, O men and O women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with staff in hand because of great age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. One day, there will come a day where we will sit with staff in hand. And the staff is not only a tongkat, but there's some authority, you know, the staff of leadership authority. There will come a day that we will, whether you like it or not, we will sit. But today, so long as you have the strength, the energy, I pray that the Lord will stir our hearts to serve His people with whatever we have. We serve, we give, and we look forward to that day that He says to us, well done, good and faithful servant. So Father, I pray that You lead us. I pray that You enable us to hear Your voice beckoning us as we join Your work here in the village. Help us, Lord, as we join in the work that You have already started, the work that You are already doing. Help us, Lord, to be a part of it, to be engaged in it. So long as we have the strength, stir our hearts. As we choose to serve You and make a difference here in this village. So enable us as You move us forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you join me as we all stand together in this song of response? And let it be a prayer to our Lord together.